Hi, welcome to the Positive Moments for Parkinson's podcast in Salt Lake City, Utah. This is the podcast where we talk about what people with PD are dealing with and the positive steps they're taking to really live and move forward. I'm your host, Jason Lee, physical therapist. Before we get into today's episode, let me mention our Facebook group, Move Over Parkinson's, where we talk and chat about issues people with PD are dealing with. Let's dive into today's episode. Hey, this is Jason Lee, and we're coming at you with the third episode of Positive Moments for Parkinson's. And I'm honored to have with us the guest, Larry Litton from Toronto, Canada. And so we're going to just kind of go ahead and just kind of chat a little bit about his life and how he's doing. So thanks for joining us this week.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Jason. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
And thanks for the opportunity.
Good. We're glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your work life, personal life, and things you've enjoyed up to the point of being diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Yes. I was born in South Africa and grew up and was educated in Johannesburg and Cape Town in South Africa and qualified as a lawyer. And then left South Africa to live in New Zealand and lived there for about 5 years and have been in Canada for the last 25 years. So moved around in South Africa and qualified as a lawyer both in New Zealand and Canada when I came here, and then had a long corporate immigration practice for about 25 years. Married to a South African as well, met at school, been married for 33 years. Two adult kids. One was born in New Zealand. One was born in Canada. So we were a United Nations family when we were traveling. And so immigration was a sort of a natural calling for me on a professional basis. Mm-hmm. And had a good career, you know, reached a professional milestone of partner after my diagnosis, and so that was my life, you know, before Parkinson's.
Okay. Did you have any hobbies? Were you active? Were you?
I was always physically active. Played soccer or you know, British football, and played the drums. I was an amateur sort of drummer. I grew up. My parents were amateur performers on the stage, so I grew up in a very musical sort of background.
Cool.
And played the drums, and I played just bang, you know, my parents' furniture to pieces. Could never afford a drum set, but I had a good sense of rhythm and kind of played that for a while. But then, you know, life got going and gave that up. But I got back to it in dealing with my Parkinson's, which you know, I'll talk about in a minute. So, my life before Parkinson's was pretty predictable. You know, the normal ups and downs of married life, career challenges. But I really had enjoyed the opportunity of being a father. I had lost my father when I was very young, so having the opportunity to be a dad, I really took it to heart, and you know, just lived in sort of a in inverted commas, normal life prior to Parkinson's, expecting that, you know, health challenges, because I lost my dad very young from heart disease. I thought that would be my life's challenge. And I was really surprised when that didn't happen. So before Parkinson's, pretty average life.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what type of symptoms were you experiencing prior to actually getting diagnosed with PD? And then what led you to seeking medical help?
Yeah, so I became, I was diagnosed officially in 2012, but about 3 years prior to that, I became very conscious of a tremor and a twitching in my right small finger of my right hand. And it was consistent. I'd wake up in the morning and it was there. And then I noticed that my foot, my leg sort of dragged as I was walking. So being an avid sort of runner at the time, I could no longer run because of the dragging foot. It was a sort of there was no natural heel toe movement. And I was very aware of this constant twitching in my right hand. And I remember watching TV and noticing that in other people. And I thought at the back of my mind that something was up. But I went through a sort of a process of elimination, went for a physiotherapist, went to see an acupuncturist, went to see a naturopath. And by a process of elimination led to a neurologist where I sat down and he told me within 30 minutes of a very unemotional and very clinical setting that in his opinion, you know, I had Parkinson's. So those were the only symptoms at that stage. Obviously, after that became a lot worse in terms of anxiety and having to deal with the emotional trauma of what I had. So it was only those physicality issues that I dealt with that led to that first diagnosis in 2012.
Okay. Awesome. Tell me a little bit about right after you got that first diagnosis, what was your reaction to that? How long did you really have to kind of sit back and kind of deal with that kind of in your own mind before you went forward, I guess is maybe the right way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, that was the start of a very traumatic chapter in my life. The actual sitting down with a doctor, you know, that was very unemotional. I went alone and within 15 minutes doing a writing test, doing a balance test, he said, look, you've got Parkinson's, here's a script and I'll see you in a month. When I got home, however, that's when it really started affecting me because what the first thing I did, and looking back at something that I wouldn't have done, but what I did do is I fired up my laptop and typed into Google and YouTube, young adult Parkinson's. And what I read and saw was information and images that were tremendously overwhelming for me because I had no, at that very day, within an hour, I had no terms of reference about what I was seeing and reading and understanding. Right. And that traumatized me because what I saw, I thought, wow, this is my future. If it's my future, it's terrible because I didn't understand what I was looking at. And so very traumatic, and it threw me straight into anxiety, depression, insomnia. I was at mid-career, so I had these flood of questions of, you know, how I was going to live, how was I going to provide for my family, could I continue working? So it took a while, I think about 2 years, before I kind of got through those five stages of grief, literally from, you know, anger, denial, bargaining, right through to acceptance. But it all started on the day of diagnosis. Everybody remembers, where were you when JFK was assassinated, or where were you when, you know, Neil Armstrong stood on the moon? I know where I was the day I was diagnosed, and it's forever, you know, carved as a date in my calendar.
So how old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was 49.
Okay.
49. And so that, you know, that was a shock because my GP years before had said, well, you're too young to have Parkinson's. It's all, you know, you're anxious. So, you know, do some mindfulness or anything, something like that. But that day was at that age, mid-career with a young family, really, very traumatic. And I always thought that, you know, Parkinson's was associated with an old person, you know.
Right.
Every image I had was of an 8-year-old with Parkinson's. And so it was an old person's disease that I couldn't believe that I had at 49.
Okay, I'm going to go a little bit off script. What was it that brought you out of that kind of stage of grief and started working you kind of on uphill?
I think it reached the point, which is one of the five stages of acceptance. you know, I went through that whole chapter of denial. Once I was diagnosed, firstly, I denied what I had originally. And then when I was diagnosed, I pretended I didn't have it and try to put it out of my mind. But the more I try to put it out of my mind, the worse I felt. And it reached a point where I was coming up with excuses. You know, the twitching in my right hand had intensified, and my excuse was, well, I'm drinking too much coffee. And in client meetings or with my team, I would clasp my hands together. I would sit on my hands. I would put my hands under the desk. And I devised these creative sort of excuses. I with my leg dragging, I would sit at my desk for longer than normal. I would order lunch and ask my, you know, personal assistant to get me lunch. I wouldn't have to walk and move around. So I was leading this double life to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I was getting into the office, but I wasn't engaging. I wasn't fully there. I was there physically, but not mentally. And so that was the issue. So it came to acceptance where I was kind of exhausted with living this double, not so much a lie, because, you know, I had it, but this I don't want to pretend that I didn't have something. So when I got to that point, and that was a real emotional roller coaster to get to that point, but that's what empowered me, because I realized that I don't, you know, I with that acceptance, I welcomed Parkinson's into my life and started to live with it, as opposed to denying that I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big change. Took control. I told my team and told my boss, and everybody kind of, you know, acknowledged that they knew something was up with me. And as soon as I started talking about it, my anxiety level went down, and I managed to then start living again. You know, I started running and took to drumming, and that helped tremendously with my career progression, because I could function. I told my team, they saw signs in me when I was tired, and suggested that I, you know, go home. There were times when I felt that. In the afternoons, when I was getting a bit tired myself, I would leave to go home and rest, and then get back to work. So I think that was great. As soon as I started discussing it and started talking about my condition, that acceptance from all facets and everybody around me was important as well, because they didn't have to, you know, walk on eggshells around me. And I felt comfortable revealing kind of what I had and how I was coping with it.
Okay, good. Can you describe for me a positive moment for Parkinson's? That's the name of our podcast, where you might have had a breakthrough realization, an attitude, just a relationship building moment, which gave you some perspective and strength to face the challenges ahead of you.
Yeah, I think it goes to this acceptance, because it was from then on that I could start living again. And the Parkinson's positive moment is in fact the date of diagnosis, because in a way I had a sense of relief and also knew what I had. And then started, when I started living again, it gave me the opportunity. That's what Parkinson's gave me, the opportunity to forge deeper relationships with my family, and it forced me to refocus my life and to not live a life that I was leading. I mean, I was going through my career, maybe just going through the 9-to-5 rigmarole of career progression, but Parkinson's gave me that focus to live mindfully in the present. To focus on positive things, not sweat the small stuff, and that's what I sort of write about is you know, don't wait for a diagnosis. Focus on living your life as well and as meaningful as you can. So even though it may sound, you know, weird to say, Parkinson's had a positive influence on my life, really, because it gave me that opportunity to live a better, more rewarding, fulfilling life. As I said earlier, I reached a professional milestone of partnership admission after my Parkinson's. So, you know, getting Parkinson's doesn't mean that your life is over. Sure, you've got to live with it, but you can still live well with it. And that's the focus. It gave me that opportunity to regard each day as a gift and live each day as your last, and know that you can, you know, live well with it.
Cool. Let's go a little bit deeper into that. So you're a guy that you said you lost your dad at an early age. And you were pretty mindful of being a good dad. But then this comes along, and you got to dig a little. You're digging a little bit deeper to make those relationships a little bit stronger.
Right. Yeah, that was quite. I mean, that day, you know, coming home, my family was at home. So when I came home early from the office, my son Daniel thought that something was up. He knew I had an appointment with a neurologist, but seeing me at home was very unusual, because I was always, you know, the 9-to-5 dad. So he was traumatized equally. I've asked him what he felt, and there was the fear of the unknown. And that sort of was the same with my wife. She was overwhelmed. She didn't know what our future was. My daughter, you know, understood somewhat because she was a bit older, but it Parkinson's affects not only us as the patient, it's our family that are directly impacted as well. But over the years, I you know, my son saw me struggling on the treadmill to walk, and then run, and then saw me complete, you know, 3 half marathons in 5 years. You know, so I think he's complimented me on that, and I think that's been a positive impact on his life. My daughter, interestingly enough, is when she reached that age of wishing to have a tattoo, my wife and I had a discussion, and we gave her the permission. And when she came home, she showed it to us on the bottom of her right foot below her ankle. I was expecting a maple leaf or a heart or, you know, I love John. What it was, however, was the chemical compound of dopamine on her right ankle. And I asked her, you know, I was surprised obviously to see it. And why did you have that? And her response was that, you know, when people see me, my physical, I look okay. And I'm very, I'm very appreciative of that, but I lack dopamine, you know, and that's the biggest problem. So it's her reminder of what she's got on her ankle that I lack internally. And also in the sense of what you see is not always what you get. You know, to the outside world, I may look fine, but internally I'm anxious sometimes. I've got cognitive impairment. These are the challenges of Parkinson's. So my kids have grown into great adults now, but I hope I've left them, or will leave them, or they've seen in me some, you know, living with adversity. I mean, and living with it graciously and humbly. I think that's the bottom line.
Cool. Very good. It's a great legacy. What's your day-to-day strategy currently for managing PD? And then what does your current regimen kind of consist of? What are you doing physically, mentally and emotionally, nutritionally? What support groups do you rely on?
Every day I do start with making my bed. You know, you wake up and I've got Parkinson's, but it always starts with a purpose. And so waking up, getting out of bed, making my bed, going straight into a mindfulness session. I found the practice of mindfulness very, very helpful for me. And, you know, it's not so much meditation, but it's definitely a quiet time where I focus on my breath, and it sort of centers and anchors me before I get going. And I take my medication, do the mindfulness sessions, and then it's a strenuous exercise regime. It's an hour on the bike, It's an hour running. It's wow. Boxing. I should say that my wife is a personal trainer, and my son and daughter are both in the health industry. So they went into the family business, but on the mother's side, not on the law side. But I've got them, you know, surrounding me and pushing me. So on the physical side of it, that's under control, and I think that's imperative with Parkinson's. Probably, you know, as you know yourself, that we've got to keep moving, you know, and that's very important for me. On the nutrition side, I guess I could do a lot better. You know, having lost my father to heart disease, I mean, high cholesterol was always the issue with me. But I found that when I and I actually treated myself to a hamburger just on my birthday. But after my diagnosis, I let that go a bit. I don't eat a lot of bad stuff, but I could do better. But I'm thinking to myself, you know what? My life is compromised somewhat. I enjoy food. I find it very sociable. So yeah. I enjoy my burger more frequently.
I like that.
Spiritually, I'm also maybe, you know, a bit light on that. But I do think that I was given Parkinson's for a reason. And I do find that I have more clarity in my purpose and value now in my life's journey than I did as a lawyer. You know, that's a career, that's a job. But living with Parkinson's, sharing my experience, and hopefully, you know, inspiring somebody to do a 15-minute meditation, or get onto a bike and ride a mile to start, or walk on the treadmill, or go to a support group much earlier than I did, are sort of good tips and trades that I'd like to share and let people know that, you know, there is a life worth living with Parkinson's.
Good. Okay. So, in one of your posts, you mentioned a little bit about going to a support group kind of later. What is your advice about going to a live face-to-face Parkinson's support group, not an online group, but something that's live where people are in the same room together?
Well, firstly, it took me 10 years to get to a live support group. Wow. And it's too long, because I was there 10 years in and found complete calmness when I was with my PD, you know, brethren and warriors in a live setting. We went around the table. It was everybody from a person who was diagnosed, you know, a week before, a month, in my case, 10 years. But we were all there together sharing our experiences and talking about stuff that I was trying to find answers to myself for about a year when I was first diagnosed. And the what struck me was the new kid on the block who was there after being diagnosed a month, very emotional at the start. But then listening to our stories, listening to, you know, these one-liners and joking at times about, you know, some of the comedic stuff that we have to deal with as well. As that went on, she became more relaxed and more engaging. And I realized in my own case that had I gone to a live support group earlier, I would have learned more stuff. I would have, my anxiety level probably would have come down, because I would have had my terms of reference that I mentioned that I lacked so much right there and then in the live setting. And I found that there's comfort and in community. This is a disease that affects us, but you need your caregivers, you need your family, and you need the support of each other. We're all going to go through Parkinson's very differently and at different stages, but it's a shared experience. And I took great comfort in those live support groups. So I would encourage anybody to get to a live as soon as they can. I do think that you've got to reach that comfort zone where you're going to go with your caregiver and you're going to commit to going. But when you get to that stage, I think it's wonderful. I really do.
Yeah, it's probably more about, a lot of it's about giving as much as receiving. Yeah. Okay. In one of your Facebook posts, you mentioned a second diagnosis, in addition to your PD diagnosis. Can you mention a little bit about that and how you dealt with that a little bit differently, maybe?
Yeah. Well, it's linked to the PD. You see, the first diagnosis in 2012, that was based on the physicality, you know, the tremor and the gait and stuff. So that was your general PD diagnosis. What happened in about 2018 was my neurologist wanted to level set my cognitive ability, and he put me through a full neuro psych, and it came back okay, in the sense that I was still functioning as a partner and could, but it did baseline my cognitive ability. And then in January of 2019, I noticed that at work, particularly, you know, in that high pressure corporate environment, that cognitively I wasn't quite there. There were times in meetings where I lost the train of thought, lost my words, and started having, you know, attention sort of issues. I couldn't focus and couldn't find that critical thinking process that was obviously very key to my career as a lawyer. And so the neurologist in October 2019 sent me for a second neuro assessment, and that came back with cognitive impairment as a symptom of Parkinson's. So it sort of moved from the physicality to the cognitive. But the interesting thing is that, so there I was, obviously, with the neurologist, again, giving me a diagnosis. Now, Larry, you've got the cognitive side. And I felt like Bill Murray in The Groundhog Day, you know, when he wakes up and he goes, you know, to see the groundhog. But I had a different coping mechanism. I had a much stronger mental outlook to receiving that news. I didn't go back home and go onto Google. I had learned what to do. So I looked at my one reference book that I've always had, and started researching, and that led me to, you know, understand what I was doing less emotionally and with a calmer reference point, that I could talk to my family. I didn't come across as freaked out, so that they could see the confidence in what I had, you know, have learned, and my tool of coping skills to deal with this sort of second diagnosis. So, and I've realized that it's part, obviously, I went straight to acceptance. Okay, so this is another chapter that I'm going to have to research and live with and develop the coping skills. And I've developed some techniques that go along with it. But I did it less emotionally with a calmer mind. And I think that stood me in good stead.
Yeah. So you can, I don't know how to phrase this question, but you were talking a little bit earlier and you were saying how it's kind of the kind of coronavirus pandemic is kind of a similar experience to what you're going through. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of unknown.
Right.
And yeah. You probably know how to handle that better than we do at this point.
That's right. I mean, I would encourage people to maybe not keep the 24-hour news cycle on TV. You know, watch it at 11 o'clock in prime time and then that's it.
I'm guilty of that, yeah.
Yeah. And that fear of the unknown is something that we're all going through, but it is what it is. I mean, the fear of Parkinson's is there every day. We don't know what's coming around the corner, but it's really quite important. And what is happening with self-isolation now is that you're with your family, you're with your loved ones. And that's the crucial point. And that's what I find fascinating is that, you know, we no longer are tethered to our phones. We can actually have conversations with our family. And that's what got me into trouble the first time when I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, because I went onto the online world when that would be probably the worst thing to do. I think dealing with this pandemic starts with your life, with your family and the support and helping each other, just like we do with Parkinson's.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a universal solution, which I like.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us what you're currently engaged in, pursuing or working towards. What's your current quote unquote purpose in life, and how are you enjoying it?
Yeah, so what I decided to do is in January, formally withdraw from the corporate world. So I traded in my suits for jeans and sneakers. And I started writing these blogs in October and really found them for me therapeutic. And I was overwhelmed with the responses that I got, you know, positive responses and helpful responses. And I decided that, okay, corporate world, I'm done. And am devoting full time my life to writing a book. I've completed the manuscript and it's, I'm shipping it around, so to speak, trying to get it self-published in the next 3 to 4 months. I found that very therapeutic for me to write about what I've been through, give some tips and techniques about living well with Parkinson's. And I'd like to share that experience with a wider audience, only to let people know that, you know, you can live well with Parkinson's. It's not a question of denying what we've got, but it's living well with Parkinson's. And I think, as I said earlier, that my life's purpose on this journey is more clear than it's ever been before, in the sense of helping people live their best lives and authentic lives with Parkinson's, and also helping the caregivers, because as I said, it's not just us that are impacted. It's the caregivers and the health teams that, you know, need the knowledge. And if I can inspire one person, as I said, to walk on the treadmill, then my job is done, you know?
Okay. So why don't you sum that up for me in a mantra? Do you have a daily mantra that you're using right now?
I tend to write these quotes down, and really the one that I kind of change them from time to time, but the one that really resonates with me today is, I'm thankful for my struggle because I couldn't have stumbled on my strength. I think that's what Parkinson's has taught me, is that you face adversity, but if you can find strength to overcome and deal with that adversity, then I think you have got value and purpose in life. And that's really what my mantra is these days.
Wow. Okay, great. That's a great way to wrap that up.
Thank you.
That was terrific. Is there anything else that's kind of on your mind that you'd like to share with somebody else?
I would just say, you know, focus on the dash. And what I mean by that is, the dash between your date of birth and what, you know, your date of passing is going to be. Focus on the dash, because that is your life now. Parkinson's was a life-changing event, obviously, but I'm living a life now that is more rewarding and more fulfilling and more meaningful than any time before. So I would encourage people to live their best lives today and just know that there is still a life worth living. Challenging, can't deny it, but accept it and live well.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much, Larry Linton, for joining us on Positive Moments with Parkinson's. It's great to have you. It's great to get your insight and your strength, and we'll try to share that with a bunch of other people. So,
thanks, Jason. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, I'm going to turn there.